Hi and welcome to Sapchat. I'm your host, Jeremy Main. Now this is episode four of a four episode series on sustainability, and I'm joined by Justin Sutton Parker. Justin is an information technology professional with 25 years experience and an MBA in sustainability and a PhD doctorate. He is a researcher for computer and urban science with the University of Warwick and the Warwick Business School. Justin is the CEO and chief scientist of PX3. And when not working with clients or doing his research, he's a regular contributor to national newspapers and publications. Justin, welcome to Sapchat. Now, we've had a long this is episode four, so it's the end of a long series. But to episode one, we talked about, well, why bother with sustainability? Episode two, we talked about what you can do. And actually, episode three was how do you do it? So we talked a lot about, I think, understanding and transparency of data and, you know, measuring apples with apples. And that is a huge problem in the marketplace. But it's actually beginning to get to the point where certainly through your tool and other tools that you can actually start to make sense and plan out and make that direct comparison. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. It is a barrier. People would like to do something about it. You know, most of the companies that I talk to have a willing and want to do this, whether or not it's about climate change, about compliance, about money saving. They understand that IT has that opportunity. I've spent my entire life, as I mentioned previously, basically creating, researching, forming tools that actually make that possible. So yeah, it's a pleasure to be able to take people on the journey where they go from, you know, the great IT they've got to the green IT they want to be able to achieve all those things.
So I'm an organization. I've listened to this podcast. I've listened to the series. I understand that I need to start to do this. I actively want to do this. Measurement is the main issue, really, in terms of demonstrating that A, I'm doing the right thing, I'm focusing on the right things, I'm comparing apples with apples. So how do I start with you? Where do I start with a PX3 tool, and how can it work within that overall compliance framework in an organization?
No, absolutely. So, you know, the first thing is we would obviously, speak to that company. One of our consultants will talk them through what it is they're trying to achieve, because we're looking at what you have currently, which is what we call the actual. And then we're looking at what the potential is. Obviously, we have lots and lots of data about the potential best sustainability strategy. But as an example, we also want that to lock into the company's own strategy. We did a piece of work with the Royal Borough of Kingston and Sutton Council. They actually had a climate emergency. So the big things for them were actually energy reduction, as in use, looking around waste reduction, and then looking around sustainable transport. So we knew that we could measure them and then form a strategy around that which meets all of that criteria. So going back to your point, where do we start after you've spoken to us? So the PX3 application is the tool that would give you all of that data. So it's very simple as such that we basically look at what we call an asset profile. We come and find out what you've got. We look at a use profile. How's it being used? What's the consumption levels? And then we put it all in the tool, and then we produce what we call the planet and the profit and the people metrics out of this to look at what's the planetary impact around GHGs. Where are we going with regards to your costs and everything else, you know, like using utility, how often you procure. We put all of that into understandable figures. So we give analogies around what does that look like when it's converted from possibly confusing GHG kilogram CO2e, which people always look at me blankly and say, what does that mean? We convert it into understandable formats, like what's that in the equivalence of how many car miles of pollution that would be? And then people nod and say, oh, I understand now, that makes sense. So we do that. And then there's obviously the monetary side of it. The follow-on step for that is, if you understand what your IT carbon footprint is, and you understand where you want to go, there's things you've got to do in between. We do not advocate that you get all of your IT and then just throw it all in the bin and go and buy low carbon footprint IT. That's ridiculous. The stuff that you've got, you need to actually eke that out as much as possible. So you're almost stopping the procurement, you're slowing that down. And then when you absolutely have no choice whatsoever, you go to sustainable procurement and you select the right equipment to actually meet that criteria, which I'll show you a model of that in a minute. To achieve that, we've got a tool called the Dynamic Carbon Footprint, which harmonizes all the data. I'll take you through that. And then once you start getting in that motion of understanding that that's the way you procure, and we don't sell equipment at all. We have no interest in that whatsoever. So you find the equipment that you want to via this tool. You work out actually that's the best one for our company from a planet basis, and you go off and buy it from wherever you'd normally buy it from. So that's the point we make on that. And then we have another tool which measures success, which is basically taking your goals, how well are you achieving those goals as you go through, what's your target, how's that contributing to net zero, and you can tap into that to understand. So if you let me take you through the sustainable procurement one, that's the easiest way of
Of
explaining
course.
how to choose things, I think. So I'll show you how that works. Let me just share my screen.
For those joining via or listening in via analog only or audio or only, we'll continue to explain what the viewers can see on the video.
Absolutely no. Right, can you see my screen now?
Yes, I can.
As I mentioned, what I'll do is I'll take you through a tool which is the procurement tool.
Okay.
So you can look at basically what you're doing here is you're judging computers by sustainability criteria. Now, this is a new thing for a lot of people because that's been introduced in policies within the government greening ICT policy, which is in the UK,
Right.
and also across Europe with regards to procurement of green IT products. So what we do is we'll log in. So what have I got here? I've got the main screen. Just imagine I am an IT procurement person. So I've got to go and find something that's good for me, that's very low carbon footprint. So I'm today interested. Somebody said, go and find me some notebooks that meet that criteria. So I'll tick notebooks. You can obviously do it by all the different types of computer. And for those listening on audio, that's from desktop all the way through to workstation. Now we've got this other contextual input. We talked about this earlier. So a contextual input is the retention period. How long will I keep this device? Why is this important? Because obviously, the longer you keep it, the more energy consumption there will be. So that changes the figure of what the total carbon footprint is. And also, the longer you keep it, the better because you're actually stopping procurement of new devices. Why is this important with regards to working this out when you're looking for equipment? It's because most of the product carbon footprint reports, well, not most, all of the carbon footprint reports supplied by manufacturers will have different years, amounts of years of use included in what we call the use phase. Therefore, all of the data in those isn't comparable. And that's not their fault that they've got to take a decision on, is it going into Europe for 4 years or 5 years or 1 year or whatever. So we choose for this, we choose 5 years as an
Okay.
example. And then we've got region of use. So obviously, for those just listening, there's every single country you can think of and regions and everything else. So I'll just keep this one set to, actually, we set it to the USA just for fun. So what I'll do is I will apply the filter. What's that doing now? That is harmonizing all the Scope 2 data in the background and giving me a stack ranking up there on the left-hand side by carbon footprint. I could stack rank it if I wanted to by Scope 2 electricity emissions or supply chain emissions, but I'll leave it on carbon footprint for now. So what have I got here? I've got a list of many, many notebooks. You'll notice, for those who can't see the screen, there are hundreds and hundreds of notebooks. So you measure how complicated that is if you wanted to manually do it. As you've just seen, this took under probably 0.2 of a second
Exactly,
to
yeah.
bring all of these up. So the point is, I'm looking through this and I'm looking at some additional criteria. I'm thinking, well, actually, that's good. It's got an EP rating that's gold. I want a Windows platform. You know, is the screen big enough for me? And so on and so on. So I actually thought, you know, I quite like the look of a Microsoft Surface laptop. That's good for me. I can obviously go down. I can choose lots of other devices. There is a button here that says add to comparison.
Okay.
So you could add all of those in. Like any comparison website, you put them all alongside each other and say, actually, that's the one for me. That's the best. So I'm going to look at that. But the important part is there's another button that says click for carbon footprint report. Why is this important? So when you click it, it comes up with this page. Now, what this is doing, this is telling you this is the carbon footprint contextually for the country you're operating in. I've mentioned it before. Energy grids country to country will have different levels of renewable energy in them. Therefore, the carbon intensity in the electricity you're consuming is different by country. So yep. In the US, they're still very reliant on coal. So it's quite heavy carbon intensity. Whereas if you went to Norway, as an example, mainly all renewable, very low carbon intensity. So this figure here, the scope 2 figure, would change by country. You can't do that with a static product carbon footprint report. So with a dynamic one, i.e. this one, you can do that. Again, we talked about retention period. I've set 5 years for this, so therefore it includes 5 years of use into this. So the importance of this is, if you are looking to be compliant, and you know there's a bit of confidence side of it, you know you've chosen the one with the lowest carbon footprint. But the other side of it is, I mentioned it in previous episodes, there's lots of policy out there that says you must buy devices that are proven to have the lowest carbon footprint in context of your operations to meet your net zero targets for IT. So what have I just said here? I said, yeah, absolutely. I've chosen it for the country that I work in. I've chosen it for the amount of years that I keep. So therefore, it's got relevant contextual information. And then all I do is I download my PDF, which is the carbon footprint for that, for me using it in my area. So I've now got this data. I can store this. And away we go. I know exactly what it is that I've chosen. And I did all of that very, very quickly, as you saw. Yeah. Under 5 minutes. And I mentioned it as anecdotally previously, to be able to do this in the past 2 weeks. And I've spoken to so many companies that said, oh, we tried this, it was absolutely impossible. This does it for you. And we use this with lots of computer resellers because they can actually say if they get a phone call from their company and say, you know, we need 100 laptops, instead of saying, you know, what have you got by, you know, only looking at price. And of course, you would still look at price. Yeah. Everyone does. But you can also now look at price and carbon footprint. So you can blend the two, make the right choice, do the right thing. And just for one last thing, for those on audio and video, when you look right down at the bottom side of things for really heavy carbon footprint notebook devices, so there's one there for 600 kilograms GHG. And then you go back to one of the first ones, and that's only 100 kilograms of CO2e. So in that instance, that's kind of six times more impact by choosing a device that's got a higher carbon footprint. And the point I always make is, you know, I know a laptop's not a laptop. There are certain things on laptops that you need and want for performance-wise. But in reality, for most people, a laptop is a laptop. So if you can buy a laptop that's only got 110 kilograms worth of impact instead of one that's got 600, it's almost, why wouldn't you? So,
and so,
you know, it kind of makes sense.
You can use this data then to back up your, we talked in previous episodes about the increasing focus on regulatory compliance and the need for reporting. So all of this can be used to kind of bring that together for an end-to-end view on your carbon footprint as an organization.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm doing a lot of work with the UK government at the moment. They're obviously subject to their own policy.
Yeah,
they invented the policy. And if you look at their recent strategy document, go to the back, you'll see my name in there with the research in there around this particular area. The point being is, the more we concentrate on being able to achieve these things, the more we comply with the legislation. And there was a nice piece of research many, many years ago, the turn of the century, that it was called the carrot and stick research, which basically said, everyone has the will to achieve this, but unless you've got a little bit of stick, which is the compliance pushing you in the right direction, you might not achieve it as quickly as you thought you would, or at least adhere to it. So if we've got the compliance angle and the want from the people, but the important part is the barrier broken, where this makes it really easy to go ahead and do it. And then they can achieve that. And like I've said before, you know, the UK government used this. They piloted it. They were one of the first to use it. Lots of commercial companies out there use it. Lots of resellers use it. And the point of this being is, if we make it easy, we don't sell equipment, but if we make it easy for people, our company goal is to reduce GHG emissions from IT. It's not a monetary goal. So the point being is, our goal is if we can give these tools to people to make this happen, then the impact of GHG emissions from IT reduces dramatically. We go back to one of the first episodes, 2.5% at least of global GHG emissions is happening from IT. If we change that behavior around how we procure that in the first place, looking at carbon footprint, but it's made really easy to do so, then we will actually make that real big difference as we move forward, taking climate action. If you look at the United Nations SDGs, I always talk about this. You've got SDG 12, which is the UN Sustainable Development Goal 12, which is about responsible consumption and production. So we've got that exactly here. You're choosing the one that's been produced for the lowest amount, and you're choosing it to be the consumer, the consumption part, in the most responsible way. Now, if we add into that, we've got goal number 17, which is actually partnerships for the goals. That's about manufacturers becoming involved in this tool, working with us. I work with every manufacturer out there. They help us with data for this tool. We input it in there, make sure it's up to date and everything else. So that's kind of the partnership. And what does that equal? Well, that actually equals UN Sustainable Development Goal number 13, which is climate action. So the point is you're actually taking climate action with sustainable IT, because you've now got the tools to be able to do that, and it's been made easy for you. And that's the whole premise of my research, is changing behaviour by making it easy for people.
Well, Justin, thank you for your time. It's been really enlightening. I think for someone like myself that's working within IT, working with organisations that are struggling to understand what do I do, and I think we started off episode one saying, you know, pretty 92% of, you know, customers in the SAP user group survey said, we need help. They were looking to SAP for advice, but in actual fact, what you're doing is you're making this whole area completely transparent. You're enabling organizations to make insightful decisions based on real data, comparing apples with apples. And I think that's really, really powerful. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your input. I would just point listeners and viewers to your website, which I think is px3.org.uk, if I'm correct.
That's correct.
And Justin, thank you for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.